Welcome everybody to the Faith Journey Journal. I am your host, Zekia Robinson, and in today's show, we're going to interview Tiffany Renee. We're going to talk about poverty, how to get out of poverty. We're also going to talk about her testimony from going from homeless to homeowner. So if you're a person who's currently going through the struggles of life, financial stress, then this is a show that you don't want to miss. So let's tune in. Welcome everybody to the Faith Journey Journal. Today, again, we have Miss Tiffany on. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Listen, Tiffany is one of my favorite people to interview. She have a lot of knowledge. And today we're going to talk about a topic that a lot of people need in this community, period. Not just a Christian community, but in the community. And we're going to be talking about poverty. Okay, it's a real thing. It happens. It can be a generation that, you know, the reason why you're in poverty because the generations before you misuse money. Maybe you're misusing your own finances and you're trying to get out of this loophole of being broke. Let's talk about that. That's something we were just talking about before we came on, is just like how even for people who is in ministry, you think it's going to be, okay, I'm about to have all this revenue. I'm about to have all this money coming in because I'm doing the Lord's work. And then it hits you like, girl, no, you're not. Or sir, no, you're not. That's not what we're going to do right now. And so we want to talk about this because we want to get ourselves out of the poverty mindset into what it is that God really has for us. So I'm going to hand this over to my sis, Tiffany. If you could take over.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hello. I am a resilience and growth expert, and I just love working with women to empower them on their journeys of healing and just growth and resiliency. And so we're talking about the poverty prison. I really want you to picture it as a prison. When you are in poverty, it is much more than, oh, I'm broke today, or I'm living paycheck to paycheck. It is literally a mindset. And that mindset transfers from generation to generation to generation. And we want to stop that. It stops today with you.
Amen.
Today, by the end of this podcast, it stops today with you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to start off by talking about the effects of poverty, because we don't touch on that a lot. And I learned about it when I started working for Habitat for Humanity years ago. I was over their home ownership program. And so I was working one-on-one with the people that were coming in to try to qualify for a home. And I was reading all the benefits. They said that, you know, owning a home, these are the benefits. These are what you're going to see happens.
I'm great. How are you? I'm good. Listen, Tiffany is one of my favorite people to interview. She have a lot of knowledge. And today we're going to talk about a topic that a lot of people need in this community, period. Not just a Christian community, but in the community. And we're going to be talking about poverty. Okay, it's a real thing. It happens. It can be a generation that, you know, the reason why you're in poverty because the generations before you misuse money. Maybe you're misusing your own finances and you're trying to get out of this loophole of being broke. Let's talk about that. That's something we were just talking about before we came on, is just like how even for people who is in ministry, you think it's going to be, okay, I'm about to have all this revenue. I'm about to have all this money coming in because I'm doing the Lord's work. And then it hits you like, girl, no, you're not. Or sir, no, you're not. That's not what we're going to do right now. And so we want to talk about this because we want to get ourselves out of the poverty mindset into what it is that God really has for us. So I'm going to hand this over to my sis, Tiffany. If you could take over.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Hello. I am a resilience and growth expert, and I just love working with women to empower them on their journeys of healing and just growth and resiliency. And so we're talking about the poverty prison. I really want you to picture it as a prison. When you are in poverty, it is much more than, oh, I'm broke today, or I'm living paycheck to paycheck. It is literally a mindset. And that mindset transfers from generation to generation to generation. And we want to stop that. It stops today with you.
Amen.
Today, by the end of this podcast, it stops today with you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to start off by talking about the effects of poverty, because We don't touch on that a lot. And I learned about it when I started working for Habitat for Humanity years ago. I was over their home ownership program. And so I was working one-on-one with the people that were coming in to try to qualify for a home. And I was reading all the benefits. They said that, you know, owning a home, these are the benefits. These are what you're going to see happens with your kids. And some of the things that were saying was your physical health, your health, your children's health improves. And I asked in a meeting, I was like, how does their health improve from these people getting a Habitat house? And they were like, just the allergies, you know, the dirty carpet. A lot of landlords don't change out their carpets. There's so much mold in a lot of these old places people are renting, and people get allergies. People get all types of sicknesses and infections, and they keep coming back not knowing where it derives from. And I was like, I never looked into it like that. Like, wow, just me moving, purchasing a new home can benefit my children's health. Mm. And also talked about academic improvement. I'm like, how does buying a house help with academic improvement? Were they going to study better because they got their own room? And they were like, no, it's the stability. It is, and that is so true, because before I worked there, I was working with kids in foster care. And kids in foster care, unfortunately, a lot of times they are moved around from home to home to group home to home. And they're, every time they move, their teachers change, their schools change, everything changed. And it's like they have to start all over. I have to learn how you like your work submit. I have to learn how you like this. And now I'm behind in grades and I just can't catch a break because I'm not somewhere long enough to really learn the same way that you're giving me, to understand this curriculum before I'm ripped out of this school and have to do another curriculum. It's really unfortunate, but it really impacts their grades. And it's the same thing if you're moving from rental to rental, and our focus when you're poverty mindset is survival mode, point blank period. How can I survive? I'm not thinking about, well, I want to stay in the kids' school district. No, what can I afford? What can I afford? These things are put off to the side. And so you got kids going from school to school to school, or from apartment to apartment. I don't know if we're going to be in the same place next year. You're going from place to place to place. Mm-hmm. Purchase a home. Now there's stability. This child knows I can be here until I graduate high school. And if I fall on my face in college, after college, I have a home I can come back to. Yeah. That stability affects their grades and increases their school improvement. And yeah. Wow. So it really intrigued me to do some more research. And so I found out that your physical health is also impacted when it comes to stress. Again, you are in survival mode when you are dealing with poverty. It's your focus is, what bill can I pay? Who can I put off a little longer? How can I get an extension? How can I meet this? How can I pay my mortgage, my rent? How can I get food in the house? And you're not worried about, you know, your mental health, your wellness. You can care less about that. Right now, you are trying to. We have to get the basic needs met first before we can really think about our health and our social life and everything. We need the basic needs, food, water, shelter. Do we have these things? I am focused on this. This is all I'm stressed out of my mind because no, I can't help you with your homework. No, I can't do this. No, I can't do that. I need to get these bills paid, right? And so what kind of effects does that have on us, the stress, right? When you're highly stressed, you become stressy.
Yeah.
You're not taking care of yourself. Studies show that when you are in poverty, when you are in a home with poverty, your household is labeled as impoverished, you are at a higher risk for obesity. And that's from stress and also what you're eating, right? Because you're eating what you can afford. Mm-hmm. You're worried about what happens to your health. You just need something to eat. It puts you at a higher risk for smoking, for substance use, and chronic stress. How do I cope with the amount of stress that I am in. I am struggling. I am in survival mode. I'm just trying to get above water just for a little bit so I can breathe. How do I cope with that level of stress? And a lot of people turn to drugs. A lot of people turn to, smoking, alcohol. It's got to be something to help me just cut the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It changes your brain pattern. It changes it because I can't, I want to compare it to this. You are in survival mode when you are in that stress, that high stress to be able to pay your bills and be able to just simply take care of basic needs. It is as if you're trying to breathe and you can't, like somebody has a mask over you.
Yeah.
And so you're fighting. It's literally a fight to be able to pay these things off, to be able to get above water. It's a fight. And so it wreaks havoc on somebody's body physically. How else does it affect us? Mental health. Can you imagine if you have gone through trauma? You do not have the time to deal with it. You do not have the energy to deal with it. You are in a constant fight. You are in survival mode. You are not thinking about what happened to you as a child.
Right.
Addressing your needs. You're not helping your kids address their needs because they are mentally impacted by being impoverished. Right. So studies show that people in poverty have higher rates of worry, nervousness, and anxiety. It also makes you feel low, unworthy, and dissatisfied with life. Mm-hmm. So you can't be happy. But you don't even really take the time to reflect and think about that. You just have to keep going. You just got to keep going. That's just the way it is. That's how life is. This is the hand I was dealt. I just got to keep going. And what does that do? That affects your future generations.
Yeah.
Yeah. We weren't taught financial literacy. We were not taught about the importance of equity and all of these things, how to get out of debt if you find yourself into it, how to not get into debt. We were not taught these things because our parents didn't know. They didn't know. And so unfortunately, it's not taught in school. And so if it's not taught in school and your parents don't know to even teach you, how do you learn? So now this goes and now you're in survival mode. You don't even have time to go and teach your kids because you don't know it either. You're in survival mode. You have to keep going. You don't have time for that. And so now generation after generation after generation is in poverty.
Yep.
Just keeps going. It keeps going. It keeps going. And when we do have a little money, what do?
Spend it.
We spend it. I have money like this every day. So, baby, while I got it, honey.
It's something that I want.
I'm going on Fashion Nova. I am. What your vice is? That's my confessions.
Absolutely. One thing I wanted to bring up this scripture that hit my spirit, which was, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And this is Philippians 4:6-7, the NLT version. The reason why I'm mentioning that, because there are going to be moments where you are going to lack. Yeah. And what are you going to put your focus in on? Are you going to put your focus in on, okay, what's going to happen next week? He takes care of our day-to-day needs. Yeah. But here's the thing. When he do give you some money, do right by it. Be a good steward. This is something that I have failed at many times. I'm going to be honest. Okay. Income tax money come. Oh, yeah, I wanted this. I wanted that. I'm going to spend, like you said, I'm going to spend this money over here. Okay, yes, I am going to pay this off. But when you really sit down and say, God, and some of y'all probably going to be afraid to ask this question. This is a question I sit down with God on every piece of money that comes in my pocket now. What would you like me to do with this? Is it hard or is it easy? Come on. She can do it. I'm telling you, I don't care if it's $100. God, what am I doing with this $100? He may say, okay, of course, first of all, I'm going to tithe off of the 100. Okay, so $10 is already off the top. It's not mine. What am I doing with the 90? And he's going to tell me what to do with the 90. Okay, you're going to pay this bill. You're going to pay this one. Okay, this can wait. And I'm like, okay. But here's the thing. When we lean on our own understanding, okay, and we're not leaning in on taking the advice of God, it leaves everything a complete mess. And so I'm not going to lie. Like recently I told my husband, I was like, "Hey," I said, "we got a credit of 200 and something plus dollars on our cell phone bill." I'm like, that had to be nothing but God. Now we have a month where we don't have to pay that. But that happens when you're good stewards of your money and you're trusting and leaning on God, you're paying your tithes, you're doing above and beyond sometime offering. And it's like you get little blessings like that. And I don't even want to call it a little, but that's a big blessing. Over $200 this month for a cell phone bill, praise be to God. And so what happens is he began to show favor in different areas, or you may get a new client. Okay. Someone may bless you with something. You may look up and something's been paid and it's like, God, how did this happen? God did it. Amen. Now, one of the things that I've realized, especially in the Black community, I don't really like talking about white community, Black community, because we're all in the kingdom. But what I've realized the most is that is a lot of poverty in the Black community. And I think it's coming from lack of knowledge and information, because like you also you've mentioned in the beginning, like we weren't taught about it, you know. And then now that you're grown and we're grown and you're living the same thing, like what's going on here? Who's going to break this cycle? Who's going to be the generational curse breaker? And I'm going to tell you, being a generational curse breaker of poverty is not easy. You're going to go through some trials, some testings. You're going to go through some things to break this off, because them demons is like, listen, we've been here a long time. I'm not trying to leave. We're going to constantly make you want these things. We're going to constantly make you feel like you need this when you get money. We're going to constantly make you feel like you can't tithe. And this cycle just continues on and on. So can you talk a little bit about breaking out of, you know, because I know your book is called This Is Freedom. And then, you know, I'm going to show her book just in case for those. And in This Is Freedom, she talks about, you know, coming out of poverty.
Yeah. So it really starts with the mindset. A lot of us, especially Christians, we feel like we're supposed to be super modest when it comes to money. We don't have to be, you know, financially stable. It is okay. God blesses the poor. And we kind of feel guilty.
Use the scripture.
And it goes completely against scripture. Who taught us this? Who taught us that it was okay to be in poverty? Just, this is God's will for my life. Who taught us that? Absolutely not. A scripture that I reference in the book is Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. And it talks about the covenant that God made with us through Abraham. That it talks about that you are supposed to be wealthy. You are supposed to be prosperous. Where did we get that from? I'm actually going to pull it up.
I was going to tell you, just read it if you wanted to.
Okay. And so it's Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow his commands, I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land, and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant thee that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. Jesus, the Lord your God will bless you in the land he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground in the land he swore to you, to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to so many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right, to the left, following other gods and serving them.
Man.
So we have to go and read in scripture and remind ourselves, what did God say about me, about my money? What did God say about the life that I should be living? You should be a walking example of what it looks like to follow God. And so when I get in low spots, I remind God, God, you said in your word, pull out the scripture, Deuteronomy 28, verse, whatever verse you want to focus on, that this and this and that, you're going to bless the work of my hands.
Amen.
That you're going to bless my storehouse, that you're going to send rain. He cannot lie. He cannot take back what he said. But that is why I teach the faith plus works, right? Sometimes we are so churchy that God, I know you're going to do it. I'm not worried about it. God's going to handle it. And that's good. But we have a duty to do the work as well.
Yep.
And so a part of that work is reading our word, finding out what God says about us. What is the covenant that we have with God? What did he promise us? Okay, let me regurgitate that until it's in my head memorized, until it's here, so that my faith is high, so that when I tell that mountain to move, it moves, point blank, period. Well, my faith needs to be up here. Okay, so what else work do I need to do? I need to work on the way that I steward my finances. Do I have a budget, or am I just living life on the fly? You know, do I have a budget? Am I doing my part to get out of the poverty mindset? Am I researching? A program that I highly recommend, I taught this to women for 3 years, is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It is such a life changer. And in that series, he talks about a way to get out of debt. He talks about the snowball method. Have you ever heard of that?
Yep, I heard about it.
Okay.
I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, snowball method. It is amazing. I have seen people be able to cut up their credit cards and really take a stand against debt, right? But again, this is the work phase. You have to want it so bad that you are willing to work, to fight, to rip that mask off so you can breathe freely, and you deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
A part of it. This is how the debt snowball works. So I talk about it in the book. So step one, list your debts from smallest to largest. And that's regardless of what the interest rates are. Whatever the smallest debt is, whatever the Macy's card, if that's the smallest one, we're going to do that first. And we're going to have the car at the end. That's the biggest one, right? Mm-hmm. We're going to make minimum payments, just like most of you are doing. Make minimum payments on all of them. Right? Make sure you keep up with your payments. That's step two. And step four, the smallest one. So let's just say the Macy's card, say for instance, that's your smallest debt. You have $300 that you owe on there. And so what we're going to do is try to pay as much extra. Any little extra money we get, we're throwing at that smallest one. Everyone else gets their minimum payment. But step three, we're throwing as much extra money as you can on that smallest debt until it's gone. If you have to get on Facebook Marketplace and sell something you really don't need, to be able to put some extra money on that, you got to do it. If you got to pick up part-time or do some mystery shopping, whatever it is, you got to do some hair, get back into braiding hair, whatever it is, because you want to be aggressive. This poverty is a mindset. It's a spirit.
Yes.
I want you to see it for what it is and get angry with it, because you need to have what Dave Ramsey calls gazelle intensity, right? You need to be, and if you're going to fight back, you got to have some dog in you. You got to have, you can't just say, okay, well, one day I'll get out of debt. No, you have to want it. You have to work for it, right? Faith plus words.
Yeah.
And so you're going to do what you can to put extra money on that. Step four, once it's done, you're going to take what you were paying, that minimum payment on that Macy's card, and you're going to apply it to the second smallest debt that you have. So a lot of times we get done paying something and we're like, woof, now I got a little extra money in my pocket every month. It's going to be my movie money. Right. No. Not when you're moving with gazelle intensity. Not when you are goal-oriented. Not when you're like, no, I'm coming out of this. This is my season to get out of debt. This is my season to fight back against poverty. It will no longer have its hold on me or my family. This is not our portion. Poverty is not my portion. According to the word of God, it is not my portion. And so I'm doing my part, right? So you're paying out on the second one. You're just going to keep doing that method over and over again until things are paid off. It literally, I went from teaching it to actually using this method, applying it to my life, and going from living with a friend of mine, staying on her futon, to owning a home in a little bit over a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I went from not having any place to stay, homeless to homeowner in 14 months.
Wow. By using this method here.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got a question, because this may be a question that someone's thinking like, yeah, it sounds good, but what happened when you barely can pay your rent? Now what? So what about people who would love to get out of debt, but they're struggling to keep their lights on? They're struggling to, you know, be able to even afford their rent, because that's what a lot of people's case is. Is there a method for that, for when you can't even pay your own rent? Like, okay, am I going to pay rent or this credit card bill? Obviously, you're going to pay rent first. So how does people use this method when they're struggling so bad?
Yeah, I do recommend doing that budget so you can list your priorities. And again, you have to do what you can to get extra income. And so I had a family meeting with my kids, because I was like, mommy's going to be a little bit more busy, but it's going to be temporary. So I had a plan. I made a conscious decision to get out. I'm going to get out of this hole that I'm in. Because I was in, I went from sleeping on her futon to a subsidized income apartment. So even though I wasn't paying as much, it was still over $1,000. I still couldn't afford that, plus my car, plus insurance, plus the kids. And it was still, I was in over my head. I could not pay everything. Yeah. I was literally picking, I'll do you this month, and I do, who's going to be the lucky winner, baby? Because all y'all can't get it. Yeah. And so I just got so angry, and I was like, why am I like this, right? I was leaving a bad relationship, and I just got so comfortable because he was paying most of the bills, and now here I am. My job, I didn't work as hard as I should. So my job, I wasn't making the income I needed for a single income. Mm-hmm. And so I got pissed. This is not my, excuse my French, but this is not my portion. I got angry with it. And so I fought back. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, 30 days, I need a turnaround. And I started applying for jobs like crazy. I actually was working 3 jobs to get out of this hole.
Mm.
Literally, I started working 3 jobs, and I just told myself, this is temporary. This is temporary. You have a goal. You're trying to pay off this debt so you can and save some money so you can get into a house. Yeah. And so I worked jobs that I could put together without it being too crazy. So I was a therapist on the side. I could create my own schedule for that. I had a case management job. I could create my own schedule. I just needed to see my clients, get all my documentation in, and then I had my 9-to-5. But I'm like working on a probably, you know, I'm on a break from work. I'm working on another thing. I'm working. So I was able to figure out how to manage it. It got very difficult, but figuring out how to manage all of it. So I literally had to find a way to increase my income, even if it meant not much sleep, just temporarily, until I could get myself where I needed to be.
Yeah. What just came to me was like temporary misery, but a lifetime of freedom.
Yes.
That just hit me. Temporary misery for a lifetime of freedom. And like you said, you wasn't able to get as much sleep, but within 14 months, all of your debt was paid.
Yeah. And I ain't going to say all, because I don't want to give people like,
okay,
unrealistic. Not all of mine was paid, but a lot of it was paid.
Yeah.
My score went from like, it probably did get down to like 4. So it got so bad because I couldn't pay everything.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And it was almost at a 700. It was almost like I was able to knock things out, therefore qualify for a loan for a home and get into that home. And I also say utilize resources. A lot of times our pride stops us from going to a food pantry. Here I am, a social worker, and I talk about it in the book. I'm a case manager, and I'm referring clients and picking up food for my clients. Guess what? One day I was like, hey.
I need some too.
I put my name on the list too. I got to feed me and my kids. I got to feed us. And am I going to be prideful? Like, I have a degree. I don't need it. No, I need this food.
Yeah.
Got it right now. I don't. And so utilizing resources, culturally, a lot of times we can be very prideful. I wouldn't even say that's culturally. I just say
around people, prideful, period.
Yeah, we can be very prideful, especially when it comes to accepting help. It makes us feel like we're less than. It makes us feel like, oh, now we're going to owe that person something, or they're going to have something against me. What does that come from? Trauma. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And embarrassment, you know, I think about embarrassment just because, like, you don't want people to know that's how low you have gotten.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, like you said, what are people going to think about me? You know, and again, yeah. Trauma. Why do you care anyway? Yeah. One thing, a scripture that just came up that was within my spirit is Romans 13:8, because I feel like some people's like, I'm just going to file bankruptcy. You know, I'm just going to do it this way and the easy way out.
Yeah,
but it sounds easy, but it scars you because it's going to be with you for about 7 to 8 years before you can do anything. That's a long time. So, and I know because I'm a person who had filed bankruptcy before and then ended up back in debt because after you do that, you know, I had a kid. After I had, you know, my daughter, things began to be behind again. So what do you do? Open up more debt. You know, you're trying to cancel it. So it's the same cycle. You have to kill this thing, okay? Which is get delivered is what I mean. Mm-hmm. So it says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of the law. In another version, it talks about, in another translation, talks about owe no debt. And so when you think about owing no debt, you have to ask God for the grace, and not just the grace, but tell God to be honest. Like if you're in a position where you feel like I would really love to pay this debt off, but I feel like bankruptcy is the only option so that it can be paid off. You like, even though it's written off, is it really written off in heaven? If you're doing it with that intention, mm-hmm. But I see it as, okay, God, your word says to owe no man nothing. That is your word. And I'm bringing this to you, to your courts of heaven. Yeah. And I'm telling you from my heart that I want to pay people off. I want to pay these things off. List your debt to God. Now, he says he will take care of our needs. He never said he will take care of our debt. And the reason why I'm pointing this out, because we got ourselves in debt. I'm pretty sure the spirit prompted you and said, don't you do that.
There you go.
Do this. And we do it anyway. Now we're like, God, you said you'd take care of our needs. No, he said he would take care of your need, not your debt. And mm-hmm. So this is where you need to go to him and just be honest. Like, God, I got myself into this debt. Your word says not to owe no man nothing. It is my heart and it's my desire to owe no man nothing. Help me. Give me the strategy. Give me the plan. If I have to work this thing off because I got myself into it, open up the door of opportunity for me to work this off.
Yes.
Ask him. But God, if it's in your grace and your mercy, to make a way for this to be wiped out, cleaned out, whatever, because of my lack of knowledge, then God, I ask for that as well. What is your will? Let your will be done. And he will begin to give you strategies to do so. And yeah. I'm telling you this because this is a question, not a question, but this is a prayer that I have prayed myself. And that's what I'd be trying to do is if I got it, I got it. If I don't, I don't, you know, but at the same time, my goal is to pay everyone off.
Yeah,
you know, because I can go the easy way of just file bankruptcy. But do I want that to be? Do I want to be scarred from that?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because now it's going to prevent you from getting a house. Prevent you if you want to go buy a car. It's going to prevent things, and that's a strategy of the enemy. I feel like, oh, just file bankruptcy. Just do this. Just do that. It's easy. It's easier. Yeah. What is your thoughts on that?
No, I think that's really good. It says a lot about the character of a person. Right. And I love what you said. We put ourselves in the debt. We signed up for those credit cards. We got that payday loan. We did these things. And we have to hold ourselves accountable instead of just saying, oh, God's gonna take care of it. God's gonna do this. And it's just like, but you made the decision. How are we ever going to learn if he just does every little thing that we say? This could be used to teach you, and so that you change your ways and teach your kids so they don't adapt the same behaviors. It is a behavior of ours where we get into debt, where we borrow more than what we need. Well, where does this behavior stem from? So I think that's really good, and it really makes you focus on the work that we have to do to crawl up out of this hole.
Yeah, and that's one thing. Instead of thank you, Holy Spirit, you know what the Holy Spirit just let within me is when you get that income tax money, ask him where to put it because he's going to tell you to start paying off that debt. You know what? You may not be able to do a Dave Ramsey. You know what I'm saying? But you can do that Dave Ramsey when that income tax come. Okay, God, this is the smallest one. I got a $2,000 check. Okay, I got a $600 credit card paid. Move to the next. Okay, God, I got $1,200 left. What do you want me to do with the $1,200? Okay, you got an $800 bill now. Pay that one off. Okay, paid. Now you got a little money. He may say, you know what? Go take yourself to lunch. Well done, my faithful steward. But if he don't, and he say, okay, I want you to tithe $200. Do it because it's going to come back in blessings and it's going to come back in other methods. But I'm not saying just pay your tithing just so you can receive something, but pay it out of obedience and he will take care of you. That is a promise, is to take care of you. So go
Credit
ahead.
advice.
Yeah, when you start to get these extra monies, like you mentioned, when those unexpected in money starts coming in, God, where would you like this to go? Because I'm gonna tell you now, when I used to get extra money, oh, I got some extra money. Let me go and do
Get
this.
my hair done.
Let me get something that I've been looking at. What's on my Shein cart? What's in my Amazon cart? I just told my husband the other day because I had a birthday and I was like, I just need somebody to send me $500. I was like, so I can just buy my whole cart. And I was like, girl, you so selfish. You just like you just want this whole Shein cart, and I do. But is that a need? You see what I'm saying? Like, is it really a need though? We're gonna all I told my daughter this, and I'll pass it back. I told my daughter this because we were in the mall. She has a presentation to prepare for. And we were trying to find her little costume so she can dress the part. And she was like, oh, I want this. And I just want, she was like, there's just so much stuff that I want. And I looked at her and said, generational curse. I'm thinking in my head, like, this is such a generational curse. So I looked at her and I said, we're going to always want things in life. I said, your eyes is going to always tell you you want that, especially when you know we came in here. We wasn't looking for that, nor was it on your mind. So the fact that you've seen it and you want it, that's an indication of where it's coming from. I said, so what I'm trying to tell you is that just because you want it doesn't mean you have to have it. And she was like, I understand, I know. And then she had brought up the fact that one day she kept telling me she wanted so much. And I was like, girl, you're gonna need you a rich husband because as much stuff as you want, he's just gonna need to just hand over the card. Like, here you go. And she brought that up. She was like, mommy, you remember you told me I just need a rich husband? I'm like, yeah. She's pretty much telling me, like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna need because I still want. The mouth of an 8-year-old, but we are all like that when you think about it. We always want something, and unfortunately, I look at the people that are homeless, and you know what I notice with them? Every time I run across a homeless person, most people, they're happy. They have a smile. They have some type of joy over them. I'm like, what? You know, I always ask, why are you so happy? Like, what? You know, what's making you so joyful? They're just like, I'm still alive. I didn't, you know, I may not have no home. I may not have no clean shower to shower in every night, but I'm still alive and God is still with me. They always, for some reason, there's something about homeless people that have the Lord. They seem to have more faith than the people who have a mansion.
Thank you.
Yes.
Wow.
And that's deep.
It
Like, just think about the rich man in the Bible. He said, what do I have to do? He said to basically get rid of everything. And the rich man walked away because that was a heavy load to do. He could not get rid of his things. Have you became to a
is.
point where God have been calling you and you don't want to get rid of your things? You don't want to get rid of stuff. You don't want to stop your shopping habits, your addictions, things that people don't even realize that you're doing. And some of these addictions is coming from your trauma. You're just trying to fill a void. And that's what I realized with me. I was wanting things, wanting to, every time I go through something, especially depression. When I went through depression, I was finding myself on Amazon, spending money I got no business spending, and feeling the conviction in doing it, but feeling the excitement when opening the box.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I already got it now, so forgive me, God. Like, am I really being forgiven when I'm doing this thing over and over again? And I had to get to a point where I said, God, I'm weak. This have become an addiction and I need help. And he just, you know, his spirit, I said, give me a stronger conviction when doing it. And I promise you, one day I was in that depressed mode. I got on that Amazon. I purchased something. I went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night. What did he say? Cancel the order. I'm like, oh, okay. Cancel the order. But that's where that stronger conviction came from. He will wake you up in the midnight hours to get a hold of you.
Yeah.
Now, when it came to this Dave Ramsey method for you, I know this is something you teach, right? Is this still something you teach for people?
I haven't in a while.
Okay. So what is it that you're doing right now when it's coming to teaching people on the poverty portion?
Really just going through people's habits, because a lot of times we don't think we have a problem until it's really pointed out. So what I'll do in a group session is I'll ask everyone to look at their bank statements for the past 90 days and highlight every single time you spent money on food. Every single time. Anytime you spent money on food, highlight it, tally it up. Mm. And you would be shocked the amount of money that low-income families spend on food. And it's like, it's just cheaper to get that. It's just cheaper to get McDonald's. It's cheaper to do this. It's cheaper to do that. That stuff adds up like nobody's business. Even the little snacks here and there, or the coffee in the morning and stuff like that, you could have paid off one of those credit cards.
Wow.
You could have paid.
I want people that's listening to do that. Pull up your, like she just said, pull up your, what was it, your bank statements.
Yep, for the past 90 days.
Extra coffee.
Yeah, and highlight it. So I would always prepare. I remember the first time I heard that, and I was like, because I prepare before I taught it. I was like, let me make sure I watch it, and I look at all the notes so I can teach it effectively. And so I was like, curious, let me just try mine. $700-something. I said, what? Where I got that from?
Right. You're talking about we don't have no money. Oh, you got the money. It's just going
places. You don't even realize it, because you're like, well, we got to eat. That's grocery. Then no, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Make a big pot of pasta.
Yes. So that's when I realized, okay, this is an issue. And then following his steps after that, start having an emergency savings. That helped me. With them, because you're doing a snowball method, and then your tire goes out, you're ripping that credit card right back out.
Yep.
Because you don't have any extra funds. And so I want to say is, if you make less than 50K, then you put away at least $500 in an emergency savings. And that really helped me. So the tire went out. I had the money in emergency savings. I didn't have to swipe the credit card that I'm fighting for my life to pay off. I was able to go on my emergency savings, pay for it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it just following the steps really helps you set yourself up for success. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like his method, go out and do the work, the research other methods on how to get out of debt. Because poverty is not your portion, but it will continue to be if you don't apply faith plus words. If I'm fasting and I'm praying and I'm regurgitating God's word to him, Lord, you said in Jeremiah this, Lord, you said in Deuteronomy this, Lord, you said in Romans this, and I'm praying and speaking this over my life, and I'm claiming every day when I get, I am debt free. There is no lack in my household. I don't care what my bank account looks like. There is no lack in my household. I'm putting the enemy on notice. This is an eviction notice.
Amen.
There is no lack in my household. So I don't know what you thought, but here there is no lack in this household. And mm-hmm. I'm speaking, but I'm also doing the word.
Amen. Amen. I want to bring this scripture in. We hitting these scriptures today. Okay.
Yeah. Love it.
This one's going to hit home. Say that again.
I said, cause people need to be reminded of what the word says about money.
Yes, this was going to hit a little different, okay? But this is Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness.
Oh my gosh.
This just hit me because sometimes we get ourselves out of this debt. Okay. Like I have told you, I have been out of debt before. Yeah. And because of my foolishness, I returned back to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ask yourself, when was the time God really did get you out? Because most of the time when we in this debt the way that we are the second time deeper is because we've already been out of it and we returned back to it.
Yeah.
And this is also speaking in a sense of when God takes you out of debt, don't put yourself back in it. Don't return back. Okay. Yeah. Just think about things that happens. That's typically how we get back in. Like you said, tire blows out, something goes wrong in the house, an emergency with the children. Well, I don't have the money. What else am I supposed to do? Pray.
Exactly.
Most people, they swipe. You're right. Mm-hmm. But what about, okay, I don't have money for a tire. God, make a way. God said he would provide. God, no, in order for me to get to work, I need my car. So God, can you give me the money for this car? And you see things work out for you in your favor. You never know. But if we go back to what we have been taught, you know, from generations, then you're going to, like you did, swipe the card, apply for, you know, for you to get new tires. Oh, we got this 60-day good plan, you know, no interest, interest free for 60 days. Oh, that sounds great. I'm going to get this paid off in 60 days. And then what happened? Something else happens. So mm-hmm. the money that you thought you're going to be paying off for these tires now have to go somewhere else. Now, guess what? Them 60 days is over. And now interest of 23 point something, 29.9 interest rate is on these things. So what you thought was $1,000 tires now just doubled because of your interest. And now you can't even keep up with the bill.
Right.
You're going to come outside. You're going to come outside with no tires. These people are going to come get their tires back. Yeah. But it's the truth, though. That's how they get us. No interest. I'm going to pay this off in 60 days. Something else take place, and God's word tells us, oh, no man, nothing. So that was you was wrong in itself to go and do that. So now you're asking God to bless something when he told you not to owe no man nothing in the first place. So now the enemy, it's an open door to the enemy because you've opened yourself up to it. Now you have other things that are starting to reoccur and starting to happen in your life that you have to what? Now I got to open up more debt. Now I need another credit card. Now I need this. And then when you get your income tax, now all the income tax that could have went somewhere else, like in a savings or something.
Yeah.
Now having to what? Pay off the debt that you just incurred that year.
Mm-hmm. My God. Makes us really look inward at our behaviors. And I like what you said earlier about asking God for help when it comes to stewarding. Lord, I want to obey your commands. I want to do your will. You told me to steward my finances correctly. Teach me how. Mm-hmm. Teach me how. How can I learn? We can do our research. We can, you know, get financial advice from an expert. You can speak to a banker. You can speak to a credit specialist. And you don't have to pay people a whole bunch of money. There are so many nonprofits and free resources out here that are here to help people. But again, pride can stop us from getting in connection with them, or just not knowing that it's out there can as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, when you really want to fight to get out of poverty, you're going to go out of your way to find out about these resources. Mm-hmm. You need the credit? Okay, go sit down and talk. There's so many nonprofits that help people with their credit in order so that they can build wealth and become a homeowner and things like that. And so sit down with them. They will literally show you. I used to work for Habitat, partner with a nonprofit, and I would send clients that did not qualify to her. Within a year, they would come back to me and they would qualify because she showed me her whole process. She'll get them to give them permission to pull their credit. She would pull the credit, go over the priority things that they need to pay off first that is making the biggest impact on their credit. She would teach them and draft a letter for them to be able to send to the credit bureaus to dispute whatever is not correct on their credit report. This is doing the work.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Tiffany, for coming on. Tell us where people can find your book, because this is a portion in her book that she talks about. And we want to make sure that if you want to purchase her book, she can kind of tell you where to find it.
Yes, you can follow me on all social media platforms at Here to Empower, the number two, Here to Empower. And you can purchase my book and learn more about me at tiffanyrenee.org.
Yes, because you have a nonprofit as well.
Yes, I do.
Can you tell the people what it is that you do?
Yes, I have a nonprofit. It's called Whole Heart Foundation Incorporated. And what we do is we offer women free mental health resources. Again, free resources. And we also host a lot of free events where we allow other nonprofits to come so women can learn about the resources that are out there. A lot of times we just don't know what's out there, so we're not utilizing it. And we also have a youth mentorship group. So all things women empowerment, pouring into women, restoring the woman, and preventing the girls from going down the same paths that we did.
Amen. This is much needed. Thank you so much for coming on. And with that being said, we're going to pray out as well. I'm going to pray. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you, Lord, for the people, the viewers, and the listeners, Lord God, that came in. We just pray that if they're in a season, Lord God, of getting their financial situation together, we ask that you give them the strategy that you would like for them to work with, Lord God. We just pray that the resources will come their way, Lord God. Just like Tiffany have mentioned, that there are free resources out here. We pray that you begin to flood them with the free resources right now, God. We also ask for forgiveness for our lack of information, our lack of knowledge, Lord God. You said your people perish because of a lack of knowledge, which is really lack of information. And so, Father, we pray that we will educate ourselves with all of these resources, YouTube videos that is out here to help people. We just pray right now that we begin to listen into these things, Lord God, so that we can get out of debt, Lord God. We ask for forgiveness for our debt, and we pray right now that we would not return back to our vomit after hearing today's message, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, Tiffany.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And with that being said, you all be blessed. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Journey Journal. Again, I am your host, Zakiya Robinson. And if you are a person who is needing gospel mentor coaching so that you can start your inner healing journey, please look into the description. I can't wait to hear from you. So let's get started on your journey today.